A very good morning to you all and welcome to day 10 of our 40 days Lenten prayers and reflections. Today is Saturday, 27th February 2021. Lord our God, you have shown us such love and stretched out your arms to draw us into your embrace. Yet we so often fail to show that love within our lives or recognize its source. Forgive our short-sightedness for the times we failed to see your love in the generosity of friend or stranger, the shoulder to cry on, willing ear to listen, a word of encouragement, holding a hand that extra mile. Forgive us for failing to notice how much you care for us. Father God, you are the one who leads us from darkness into light, from captivity into freedom, from anxiety into peace, from despair to joy. Yet we long to break free, choosing independence, convinced of our own wisdom, forgetting your love and grace. Forgive us, draw close to us, embrace us once again in your loving arms, and enable us to follow you in worship and grateful service each day of our lives. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen for the word of God as it is written in the book of James, the epistle of James, chapter 4, the verses 1 to 10. Where do all the fight and quarrels among you come from? They come from your desires for pleasure, which are constantly fighting within you. You want things, but you cannot have them, so you are ready to kill. You strongly desire things, but you cannot get them, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have what you want because you do not ask God for it. And when you ask, you do not receive it because your motives are bad. You ask for things to use for your own pleasures. Unfaithful people, don't you know that to be the world's friend means to be God's enemy? People who want to be the world's friends make themselves God's enemies. Don't think that there is no truth in the scripture that says, the spirit that God placed in us is filled with fierce desires, But the grace that God gives is even stronger. As the scripture says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So then, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will run away from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you hypocrites. Be sorrowful, cry, and weep. Change your laughter into crying, your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Where do all the fights and quarrels among you come from? What a challenging question that the Apostle James puts to us from the text. Let me ask it again. Where do all the fights and quarrels among you come from? It is a pervasive question because human beings are always fighting for something, about something, or against something. Couples fight with each other, sometimes for very selfish reasons. There is fighting among siblings, fighting among colleagues and co-workers, both in the church and in other spheres of secular life. Nations continue to fight against each other, and children too fight against their parents. Where do all these fights come from? James gives us the answer. They come from a single source, captured in the word desire. You want things, or you desire things, but you cannot have them, so you are ready to kill. You strongly desire things, but you cannot get them, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have what you want because you do not ask God for it. And when you ask, you do not receive it because your motives are bad. You ask for things to use for your own pleasures. The root cause of the unceasing and bitter human conflicts that go on in life are caused by nothing other than desire. We crave for things and we do not get them, and so we fight and quarrel with each other. I am sure, friends, you know that the Ten Commandments culminate in the forbidding of covetousness or desire. For desire is the worst of all the passions of the soul. Is it not because of this passion that relationships are broken, and the natural goodwill that God intended changed into desperate enmity? All the evils which come upon us, revolutions and wars, hatred and jealousy, have their fountainhead, the desire for more. So Cicero could write, "It is insatiable desires which overturn not only individual people, but whole families, and which bring down the state." From desires there spring hatred, schisms, discords, seditions, and wars. But how are desires responsible for the quarrels and fights among us? The answer is twofold. The first concerns what we desire, which according to James is pleasure. We desire things for pleasure. And then secondly, when we desire something and don't get it, we are ready to quarrel and fight. The Apostle James means that the feverish search for pleasure issues in long drawn out resentments, which are like wars, and sudden explosions of enmity, which are like battles. I think the basic question James raises in this text is whether our aim in life is to submit to the will of God or to gratify our own desires for the pleasures of this passing world. And James warns that if pleasure is the policy of life, as it is for many people, including many so-called born-again Christians, who promote nothing but a religion of materialism, If pleasure is the policy of life, nothing but strife and hatred and division can possibly follow. The evidence is in the kinds of prayers that some Christians make. Instead of loving our enemies and praying for those who hate us, as Jesus teaches, many pray that fire would consume their enemies and that God would kill them and disappear them from the face of the earth. How can any good Christian pray like that? It's about desire and the elimination of anyone we think are standing or any persons we think are standing on our way. Dear friends, a pleasure-dominated life attracts consequences. It sets people against each other. All of us human beings desire the same basic things: money, power, prestige, and worldly possessions for the gratification of bodily lusts. And when all people are striving to possess the same things, life inevitably becomes a competitive arena. They trample each other down in the rush to grasp them, and people do whatever they can to eliminate a rival. And then the desire for pleasure drives people to shameful deeds. It drives us to envy and enmity and even murder. When we allow ourselves to desire something, that thing begins to dominate our thoughts. We find ourselves involuntarily thinking about it at different hours of the day and dreaming of it when we sleep. It begins to be a ruling passion. We begin to form imaginary scenes to obtain what we crave, and these schemes may well involve eliminating those who stand on our way. Then one day, the imaginings may blaze into action, and we find ourselves taking the terrible steps necessary to obtain our desire. Friend, do you know that every crime in this world has come from desire, which was first only a feeling in the heart, but which was nourished long enough and came into action? I beg you in the name of God, please don't let that dangerous desire in your heart to dominate you. And the really bad thing about such desires for pleasure, especially for Christian people, is that it shuts the door of prayer. If our prayers are always for the things of this world which gratify our sinful nature, then they are essentially selfish prayers and God would not answer them. The true end of prayer is to say to God, "Thy will be done." That's the prayer of a selfless and dedicated child of God. But a prayer of pleasure-dominated individuals and persons is, "Let my desires be satisfied." That's the prayer of a selfish person, and selfish people can never make a good prayer until they have removed themselves from the center of their lives and placed God there. So again, it's a shame to all those who go to church because they have been deceived by some man or woman of God that religion is the way to riches, or those who donate money to the church because they are sowing seeds so that they can harvest more. That kind of prayer doesn't work because it only works for those who collect the seeds and prosper themselves and gratify their flesh with your donation sow seeds. In this life, we have to choose whether to make our main objective our own desires or the will of God. And if we choose our own desires, we have separated ourselves from our fellow people and from God. Where do all the fights and quarrels among you come from? They come from your desires for pleasure. You desire things but do not possess them. You murder, you covet, but you cannot obtain them. You fight and war but do not possess these things. Why? Because you do not ask, and even if you ask, you ask wrongly, because you desire these things to spend on your own pleasures. So spouses quarrel and fight when one makes outrageous and selfish demands that cannot be fulfilled. Siblings quarrel and fight when selfish ones ignore the common bond of family that should hold them together and start competing with others or are jealous of the progress and accomplishments of their own blood. In the church, colleagues quarrel and fight when they are competing for limited positions of authority or are simply jealous of those who are excelling in ministry. And young pastors who are unable to control their ego and pride and their quest for quick cash leave organized churches where they were trained and create their own, where they monetize religion and exercise absolute control and authority over people and their resources. Elders and pastors fight when they forget the church's mission and vision in the world and profile their parochial interests. And young people get a new job and after a short time begin scheming to unseat their bosses and other older persons in the organization. Desire is at the root of all the evils which ruin life and divide people. So let me ask you as I finish, what is your desire? I mean the one that has come to you more clearly as you listen to me. And is it desire for things that are meant to gratify the flesh, selfish desires, or you are looking for things that honor God? Dear friend, most of our desires are born out of pride. James calls it destructive pride, a certain contempt for all other people. Theophylact, the Christian writer, called that kind of pride the citadel and summit of all evils. Its real terror is that it is a thing of the heart, because the person who suffers from it might appear to be humble, while in his heart there is a vast contempt for all his fellow people. The Christian must be humble, the kind of humility which gives us courage and knows that the way to God is open to the most fearful saint. So then, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will run away from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Where do all the fights and quarrels among you come from? Jesus Christ, sometimes we can almost sense the heaviness of pressure mounting and the ominous presence of darkness around us. We recognize our enemy is at work again, whether he's trying to cause division amongst us by increasing our appetite for wealth and the vanities of this world and our insatiable desires, or trying to discourage us to get sidetracked, to fall into temptation, to give up, or to take our eyes off you. He is always hanging around. We need your supernatural power, Lord, to stand strong and not surrender. Physical force won't help, because you've said the weapons of our warfare are different from those in this world. As believers, ours are powerful and can demolish strongholds and lies. Gracious Father, when we are tired and weak, you are strong, and you are our only source of help. We cannot fight without you. Teach us how to pray and to trust you to pull down those strongholds that keep us or others helpless. We thank you because you've answered our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. Amen.